I was thinking this morning, for some reason, I kept coming back to this story. You want a story time about when I was suffering? I don't know. I didn't really come to a conclusion on what the learning part of this story was. But I will tell you, if you want to hear, I will tell you about a really, I'll make something out of it. So back in the day when my daughter had, it's either the first or second year that she had already been over at her dad's house, like, for good. And at the time I didn't know it was for good. And I mean, I don't even like the way that I just said that, but you know what I'm saying? Like, that's when she went over there the final time. I don't even know why I have this on because I feel like it looks like Fruit Loops. I was with that guy that I told you, I always talk about, I call him Byron on the episodes. And that guy was a complete, complete jerk. Like, I mean, I was just going to go into labeling him, but it doesn't help us. It was Mother's Day. I was hurting. This was before I came to this work. Just before. Like, within that year, I started coming around. I feel like it was like 2017. Yeah, it had to be 2017. Anyway, so it was Mother's Day, and I had chickens at the time. I had these. They were Sarama chickens. I love chickens. They're so much fun. I hatched them. Anyway, that's a whole nother story. I did them. I did incubator, and I also had like the little ones that had sat on nurse. Anyway, so I had chickens at the time, and I was selling the house in order to pay for the attorney so that I could go back into court. And the guy I was with, we married, but we never ever actually like lived in one home, really. I brought my chickens and my dogs sometimes, my pig, over to his house while, you know, to show the house and people were going to be dropping by and whatever. And so if you guys have ever sold a house, you know what a nightmare that is if you've got pets or kids and what have you. So I just pulled all the chickens and everybody over. And this is a really, wait a minute, you'll hear. The rooster, his name was, I called him Rudy. Rudy was like my favorite. He was so funny. He always took such good care of the hens. Where my ex's house was, there were a lot of hawks and a lot of like things that could probably get to them. And this Rue did his job. He was amazing. He always made sure the hens ate first and he ran in front of them. And if a hawk came by, I mean, he was on it. Well, my ex at the time, the guy that I was, not my daughter's father, he was really into some drugs that I was very naive about. And I left him there, came back. He had put this rooster collar on him so that he wouldn't crow. And I kept telling him it was going to hurt him. Like, we were sitting on the porch. And at the time I smoked cigarettes, even like, yeah, 2017. Yeah. And he really smoked since we were sitting out there and we were watching him. And I was like, he's going to be hurt. And right there in that 10 minutes that we were outside, sorry, you guys, but he went to go crow. And when he lifted up, it broke his neck. I've never actually shared this story. And this was on Mother's Day. And I was like, I was in such a constant stress response because little did I know that this guy across from me was doing meth, right? It's like, it freaks me out to think about all this. So this guy was, I mean, clearly not in his right mind. Clearly. And he was very explosive and all the, it was awful. And then in front of me on Mother's Day, I'm sad because, and I'm anxious because I think I'm supposed to be on the phone with my daughter at some point that day. I haven't spoken to her in some months. And I see my favorite Rue, as I was telling him something's going to happen to him and he was putting me off, die right in front of me. It was awful. So that wasn't the end of it. And so I was like, so he had a little kid who was at the time probably like 3, and Asher saw it, and the guy, I don't even know how to explain it, but he basically told me to leave the house, blamed it on me, and was catering to his son. And it was a really weird, creepy situation. So I went to my friend Mark's house, and we were sitting by his pool, and I was telling him what went down, and I was expecting to get on the phone with my daughter that day. And I kept waiting for the call and then calling them, and it didn't happen. And it was like the worst Mother's Day. Like, it makes me so sad to think back at that version of me and that awful situation I was in. I will make something of this because there's definitely a message in here. The awful situation I was in, you know, with that the guy and how he treated me and disregarded me, devalued me, all the things, right? And then here I am at my friend Mark's place at his pool, desperately trying to reach my daughter, being ignored, being all the things. I never had felt more alone, directionless, you know, just beat down, hopeless. It felt so dark. You know, I didn't know what I was going to do or what I was making of my life. All I wanted was really, I mean, the day would have been perfect if I just would have been able to speak to my daughter. No matter what happened with Brian and my favorite rooster, it's all I really wanted, you know, but it was all like coming down sort of at once. And it did. It felt so dark and it felt like I was just on the wrong track. Nothing was going right. And I was trying so hard, you know, I just felt like every time I went to go do something, I would get beat down again or get turned down, get denied, get ignored by my daughter's stepmom and her father, put down, blamed, all of the things. I felt very victimized. And I felt like there was no choice for me, no avenue, no way for me to get out from there. I truly felt, and I know you guys have heard this before, this is actually a different, much different moment. I have not thought about that day in a very long time. This was right before I moved away and moved up to the house on the hill. This was like the start of that, you know? This is like, that's when I was selling the house and then I moved anyway out further and then to the house on the hill. I had put myself, you know, there was like decision after decision after decision after decision, little tiny ones that I didn't even really know I was making. I made them so passively. If I'm going to trace back to like ever meeting this guy, one of my friends brought him to my house while I was cleaning my floors when my daughter was over at her father's, you know, like very passively for a good period of time. I was not making decisions. Let me trace back even further. My daughter's father and I, we split up when my daughter was 15 months old. We'd been together for 13 and a half years on and off and what have you. And we split up when she was very young. And I thought that was the best move because then she at least wouldn't be missing and she wouldn't feel like her family was split. And boy, I mean, did I not realize back then that it doesn't matter when you do it if you're dealing with somebody that it wants to alienate your kid from you because they're so angry, right? But before that, before him, I think I had more autonomy. And then after the alienation tactics started, the strategy started and whatever, I slowly started second guessing my own judgment and all the things, right? And then fast forward all the way to the day, you know, when I met at my house, and then to the day when that Mother's Day. There was decision after decision that was made so passively, circumstantially, you know, because I was so scared to make any moves. So I was just accepting people, situations, circumstances, predicaments into my life because of my self-worth, you know. I was going to try to make that sound pretty, like, or not pretty, but like, say more to that, but really let's just boil down to it. Because of my lack of self-worth, because of my lack of confidence and assuredness of who I am as my daughter's mother, who I am as a woman, who I was as a woman. You know, like a couple episodes ago, I was talking about that you were erasing yourself far before you ever met the alienating parent, you know? And yeah, I think that that's actually true. I said it until Eric, but I think I never really learned how to, so I'm going back on what I just said. I don't think I ever really, really, truly learned how to stand in my authority. I'm not going to go there about my confidence and for certain things, but I think it was false. It was not built on a solid foundation. And so over and over again, I kept finding myself in these abusive situations and I kept blaming the other people. Ryan, he was a fucking disaster and he was terrible to me, abusive in all the ways. He was terrible to me. And also, I know that he's a human being who has also had his issues growing up. But I allowed myself to be in that situation. I attracted that. Why? Because of what I just said. I was already willing to self-erase. You know, I was already willing to put my needs, my wants on the side in order to maybe chance feeling like needed by somebody. Feeling special. I used to say it. It sounded so noble. I used to be like, well, I'm just leaving it all up to God's will. You know, I made it sound like I was being so open-minded and so selfless. I look back on it now and I didn't know, you know, but it wasn't that. It was that I did not have confidence. So again and again and again and again, situation after situation, the same theme kept appearing in all different ways. All different ways. You know, first it was Eric. No, there was guys before that, but Eric and the way that he, our dynamic together. And then this other guy, Brian, who was entirely different and much more overt, and that dynamic. But it just kept coming on. It was louder and louder and louder until I could not ignore it anymore. And meanwhile, all I wanted to do was just mother my daughter. That's when I felt the most alive. That's when I felt the most purposeful. And like, I knew what I was doing, you know, like that I knew. I didn't have to listen to what other people thought about parenting or whatever. I knew that was like, home to me. She is and still is home to me, you know? So I mean, she always will be. And I don't know that I'm crying for any other reason, but that, you know, that's so authentic and that's so true. I'm not sad about it. Of course, I'm happy about it. I mean, of course, I'm sad about it. It's all the emotions, right? It is. It's all of it. You know what I think? I just saw some stupid movie with the idea of you or something. It was, what's her name? Anne Hathaway, whatever. And she was looking at this painting, and the painting made her feel everything, all the emotions, you know? And just now, that's what I feel like about, you know, being a mom and knowing that, you know, knowing that so deep within me, you know, just like I was saying yesterday or the day before with, you know, your role as a parent, my role as a mom, that transcends everything. That is forever. My relationship with my daughter is forever. You know, I mean, I don't know what you believe about life. And I don't know that I don't know that it matters. I do know that this isn't all for nothing. You know, I know that. And I hope that if you don't know that now, that you don't feel that now. And if you want to feel that I can help you get there. That you, even though you may feel sad on certain days and you grieve the time lost or also grieve the memories being one way and things being another way now, that you can also remember how deep your connection runs with your child or children. And how it transcends all of this bullshit. It's me really emotional, but it's so true. nothing else really fucking matters. All of this crap, you know? I think we spend so much time and so much energy spinning, you know, on this person did this and that person did that. And I'm not saying go, you know, sit around a campfire with your ex and sing Kumbaya and be like, nothing matters. No, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying when we get down to it, you and your child, me and my daughter, I mean, there is nothing, nothing that can break that apart or permeate and interrupt that bond. All of the things that have happened outside when I am like attached to some story that I'm not even, you know, maybe aware of yet. In my mind, it feels so true because it's like an old belief or something. But the attachment to all of that, I'm owed something, you're owed something, they shouldn't be this way. It's my time. It's not blah, blah, blah. They shouldn't say those things. It doesn't fucking matter. It really does it. And we waste so much time and energy on it instead of trusting and knowing who we are. Who cares what anybody else says? Yeah, it does suck that we miss out on the time. It sucks bad, you know? But also, just like I was saying, there are people all over the world who send their kids away to school, to boarding school, and they don't see them hardly ever. They're not suffering over it. Why? Because they had different ideas about what their parenthood would look like. They're not attached to the story that you or I might have. And so we can just change our story. Again, we're not agreeing with what the other is doing. And if you're still at like actively going back to court and doing all the things, please continue to do that. I am not saying just let it be. But I'm saying that in the meantime, while you're here, don't let that noise fuck up your concentration so that you can get to the final goal. You know? So I think moving out the noise, you know, with kindness and compassion with yourself, to yourself. But instead of getting swept up in it, like I was talking about a little bit ago in the beginning, instead of having those emotions take you for the ride, you tell them to get in the back. You know? So, anyway, specifically to my moms out there, y'all are amazing. Going through this is not a fucking cakewalk. You know, it's not. This is some of the hardest shit a parent could ever do, we could ever do. If you were the primary caretaker of your child, children, this, your brain is literally having to uncode, decode, and make new connections. Imagine an electrical wire here, an electrical wire here, you're having to make new connections, new stories, right? And then run those stories over and over again, repeat them, practice those stories so that that connection stays strong. It does take time and it takes diligence. And so my point is, when it seems hard and when it seems like I can't do this, I just don't know, this is how it's supposed to be, that is your brain fighting it because the old version, what you thought was going to happen, is still encoded in your brain. And so you have to lovingly explain, oh, okay, brain, this is the part where we went with the old story, but really right now there's an interim story. This is our interim story for now. Then when you take control over that, like you manage that and explain that to you, you know, then you can actually decide on purpose what you want the end story to look like. You know what I'm saying? Be like, okay, this is the interim story. This isn't like the new story, like the forever story. This is the interim story. Let's decide what we want to do with this. You have to calm yourself before you can get to the intentional, what you want, you know, the goals part of your story. Hopefully that makes sense. Okay. I think that's all I have. But, oh, I wanted to say that you are amazing. You're amazing. This is not easy work. And you are a superhero, just like I said. And I haven't listened to that since I put it out, but that in last year's Mom's Day podcast episode, go listen to it again. You are a superhero. You are their superhero, even if they don't recognize that or acknowledge that to you right now. You are. It's so, so, so difficult to go through what we go through. We are being put to, I don't love the word test, but it really, truly is this the trials, tribulations, all of the hurdles, think of it kind of like an obstacle course that we go through during this whole situation of alienation. Only like the strongest, the most patient, the most loving, diligent, understanding, compassionate parents, humans can do and do what we do. You could choose to be like, fuck it, I could just remain a victim. Fuck it, this is just miserable. I'm just going to drink myself into oblivion every day, or I'm going to stay angry, or I'm going to whatever. And here you are, right? Watching this, if you've watched this far, right? Here you are trying to have agency over yourself and take responsibility for the path forward. And that is commendable. The easy way, or seemingly easy way out, would be just to, you know, stick your head in the sand and claim no responsibility in place. Just keep pointing over there to where it's like the low-hanging fruit, right? Just pointing over to the alienator who's obviously doing all the wrong things. Okay, we know that. And then what? But you could do that over and over and over and over again. That's what I did for so long. You know, with each person I was with, like, it's them, it's them, it's them, it's them. Look what I've been dealing with. It's all, everything is these people that are fucking terrible to me, you know? And that gets really boring. Like, it's really, for me, I got tired of listening to myself. And it did. It was like the common denominator, not blaming myself, not blaming you, if that's with you. But it was, the common denominator was me. It was me that kept finding myself in those situations. So I could stick with the low-hanging fruit, or I could start changing the way that I was going, the way that I was thinking. So anyway. Go do something lovely for yourself this weekend. You can do things with, you know, if you're hurting for money right now. There's so many things. If you guys need suggestions, I used to get really creative with myself. I mean, you could picnic, you could give yourself pedicure. I used to be the queen of giving myself manicures, pedicures. In fact, I still do most of the time because I don't feel like going out to do it, which is kind of, anyway, it's a whole other thing. But give yourself a manicure, pedicure. If with money, you could always hire somebody to come clean your house, your place, make it feel pretty, or do it yourself. Marie Kondo. or if you live close to a trail or the beach or some sort of scenic outside pretty place, go take a hike or a walk and challenge yourself during that time to think like lovely thoughts, whether that's thinking about amazing memories and having the cry, but like in appreciation for what you've been so lucky to be blessed with, right? That, you know, what is that saying about grief? Grief is the proof or the evidence that you have loved so deeply. I forget what the exact words of that are, but it's true. So you could do something like that, or you could just, you know, stick some earbuds in and listen to really fun music. I have dance parties every darn day in this house, almost every day. Dance parties. Boop yourself on the nose. These are all no-cost things. Boop yourself on the nose. Make a pact with yourself to boop every time you walk by a mirror. Boop, boop. Do it. It's so fun. I'm not kidding. It is so fun. I laugh and laugh and laugh. I was in the car laughing hysterically, talking out loud about how the human brain works and how ridiculous we as humans are. Now, what big deals we make about such silly things. You know, just have fun with yourself. This is a shitty situation where we've found ourselves in, but that doesn't mean that we need to sit in the doldrums and the ho-hums always. Treat yourself right. So, and then of course, you know, you could do plenty of things with your money. I mentioned before too, you could always start, if you don't want to share your story out there just yet, like with the world, you always, who gave this, M gave me this idea, maybe it was, is to start a YouTube channel and keep it private right now. But you could always, it's a great therapy to like just start making videos, just even if it's just you like talking head like this, just talking to your kids or talking to yourself, just documenting stuff. Maybe for your kids later. Maybe that's what you do. You just as like a gift for sometime in the future for your kids, you start making little, you know, short videos, long videos, whatever. But then that's something that is priceless to go back and look over a month, a year, 10 years from now, you know? So anyway, all right, I'm going to shut up now. Happy Mother's Day, you guys. And I'll see you next week. Oh, and please, I'm around throughout the weekend. So I should maybe pop it in another time. But if you need me, just message me, okay? All right. I love you guys.